Welcome to Sino Pinning, the podcast of the CIWS, and I'm Dongting from here, specializing in non-traditional security. My co-host today is Xu Jia. He's a research fellow from the Shanghai AI Lab.
Yeah, hi everyone. We have been talking, arguing about this for months, so we figured we just start recording.
Yeah, exactly. So that's sort of how this show got started, right? So in the conversations ahead, we'll talk to people dealing with the real AI problems and get their first-hand perspectives.
Last week, I got a message from a friend, which he is a product manager, and he asked me, my company says they want to use my chat record to train a digital employee, claiming it's for the efficiency. Is that legal? Can I refuse? I work in AI and I couldn't answer this question.
Well, actually, when I heard this, my first reaction was like, well, this is not a legal question, right? This is sort of a negotiation problem. The company thinks everything you produce at your desk belongs to the company, but you feel that's your chat style, your judgment habits, right? So I think both sides have a point, but nobody's negotiating.
So we invited someone who is perfect for this, Ms. Zhu Lingfeng, who leads the data and the privacy legal work at Meituan. She has authored two books on AI compliance and data compliance, and runs a highly influential WeChat channel called 那一片数据星辰, the piece of data starry sky. If you work in this space and are not following her, you're probably behind.
Yeah, welcome, Lingfeng. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Well, I'll start with a straight question. Was there a moment at work when you suddenly realized this is a way harder than I thought?
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Ting and Jia. Oh, that is a very great question. Yeah, definitely. But it was not one very dramatically legal crisis. It was actually a very normal meeting that suddenly stopped feeling normal. A few years ago, when something came to the legal, the process was pretty similar. The product manager bring its PRD and the engineering team built from it, and the legal reviewed some of the UI and the function, and most timely is the document. But all of the things felt very familiarly. But something now goes to very abnormal. Now the product manager will not took him with a PRD. They just open a demo and say, here's roughly what we are building. And while the legal is asking the question, the engineering team is still changing the future life with the AI coding. So you are not reviewing a finished object anymore. You are reviewing something that is still involving what everyone is discussing. I remember sitting in one of those meetings and realizing that what had changed was not just the technology. The entire workflow had changed. The old workflow held together by documents, handoff, and the relatives clearly ownership was starting to dissolve. That was the moment it really hit me. This was not longer just a question of how humans use AI more efficiently. Once AI starts to enter the workflow itself, the deeper question becomes, who is actually doing the work? Who is accessing the judgment? And who is the responsible in the end? That's the primary thought from my side.
Yeah, so who is doing the work, who is making the call, and who is accountable, right? Those used to be one and the same, but now they're starting to come apart, right? So I think that's what we are here to talk about today.
Yeah, let me start with a technical fact. When companies build digital employees, what they are really doing is collecting data on how you work every day, how you reply to emails, and how you prioritize tasks, how you communicate, even when you hesitate. The more real and detailed the data, the more the result look like you. This isn't a concept. Companies are really doing it.
Right, but LinkedIn, I just want to put this a step deeper. When most people hear, well, the company wants to use my data, I think their gut reaction is, who says you can do that, right? Who give you the right to read my chats? But from what I have seen on the ground, is a real issue, let's say, way more complicated than just who picked out my stuff.
If we reframe this only as a question, who owns a chat record, we narrow this issue too much. What the company often care about, not the formal ownership of a given record. What they really care about is whether the traces employees leave behind while they are working can be extracted and turned into a reproducible digital capability. Formal reports called and approved outward-facing documents are one thing. Chat log, email habits, escalation instincts, judgment pals, and some of the habit coordination styles. And the formal one looks like the work product. And the later one are much closer to how a role actually runs. That is why, once the purpose shifting from the completing the current work to training a future digital employee, the issue is no longer ordinarily internal data reuse. It becomes a question of whether the work process itself can be converted into a capability that the organization keeps. Legally, yes, we still have to talk about the notice, the consent, the necessity, and the smallest. But the underneath that is a more fundamental question. How far can a company extract from the human work process? And where should be the boundary stop? That's the more fundamental question we should to deeply think about it.
Let me add a technical perspective. Many companies are now building so-called digital employees, using AI to mimic top performers' work styles. Technically, this requires massive collection of employees' behavioral data, how they reply to emails, schedule their days, communicate with colleagues. The value of this data lies in its rawness. The more authentic and detailed, the more human-like the trained AI becomes.
Yeah, digital employees is such a buzzword nowadays. Yeah. But I think that would create a pretty uncomfortable reality, right? That is, the more personal the data is, the more useful it becomes. So let's say private messages, emotional signals, work habits, those things people normally expect to stay private, right? But a lot of them are not part of what trains AI.
Yeah, the reason more real the detailed data is valuable is not simply that it is more sensitive. It is that the company not trying to train a system that only answers the standard questions. It is trying to train a role that can keep work moving in a real conditions. The standard documents give the knowledge, real chat records, the trees of the task progress, the real-time judgment progresses, give you the something else, tongue, threshold, timing, escalation, instinct, coordination logic. In other words, what a company really wants is not only what an employee knows, but how the employee works. And that matters because the behind the so-called the data distillation is not just a hunger for data. It is a hunger for turn individual capability into the organizational capability. The company is trying to convert the work capacities that used to into the more detailed things they want. And actually, what the result is that they want to using the AI system to replace the real human. What they want is the much more detailed and the styles of how the human employee to doing the work. It can be replicable, deployed, and measured. manager. That is why the deeper riskers here is not simply that someone stole the data. The deeper shift is that the company starting to moving into the label process itself and turns previously invisible, undocumented, and a crucial part of the work into the objects that can be extracted, stabilized, and optimized.
But let me say something that might be unpopular. People in tech knows that most so-called digital employees today are pretty rough. I've seen very few systems that can truly replicate someone's judgment style. A lot of companies claim they are doing it, but what they product is far from distilling a real person. So my question is, are we talking about something that's really happening or something that is about to happen? The urgency is different.
Yeah, you're right. But technically, we may not be there yet. But I don't think that's the point, because the data has already been taken. Right? You're working in a company, so your chat records, your work habits, those are already in the company's training set, whether or not the output resembles you. So I think that alone has already changed our relationship with the company, right? If we wait until the technology actually works to talk about governance, it will be too late. So Lingfeng, if an employee, right, explicitly says, no, you can't use my data, right? What can they actually do?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. If the employees have the right or could to say no, if an employee to explicitly say no, we should not understand this as an ordinary one of the data processing dispute. What the employee often objects is not merely that a system have seen a few messages. It is that their work traces are being extracted further, their judgment style is being stabilized, and their role capacity is being translated into some the system function, and that system function continue to exist, continue to run, and eventually reshape their own place in the organization. That is why the sensitive point here is not simply whether the company may use the data, it is whether the company may, without meaningful negotiation, convert a human work process into a capability asset it can retain over time. And the remedies feel weak, not just because the legal tools are limited, but because the harm is often slow and structure and delay in what it becomes visible. People may not be able to point to one immediately injury, but they can still sense that something important is being taken out of their work and stabilized elsewhere. So what is needed may be more individual decide yes or no consent. We likely need the strong procedure and the negotiation mechanism. It's very limited. The purpose, collective, the consumption, internal representation, clear training module, and periodical review, that would be much useful. Not just let the employee say the no, because we didn't to understand what the no means. Means they're not using their data or not using this data to train the AI can replace the employees, and also the employee working style is not only from this company, maybe from the former company, from former punk company. So it's complicated. So we could not to explain this question just based on the yes or no from the employee.
Lingfeng used a phrase I think is really a key, the collective consultation. In internet companies, that concept basically doesn't exist. Everyone defaults to the mode they very quickly agree when you join. And that's it. But what Lingfeng is saying is that one person saying no probably won't work. There needs to be a mechanism for the group of people to negotiate this together.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's an institutional design question, right? But I just want to follow up what Lingfeng just said, that roles are being redefined, because she used a phrase early, that was digital employee, not AI tool, right? I think this is not just a different label, because a tool is what you use and put down. It doesn't run on its own, but an employee is always there, right? Always working, always making decisions. That is a completely different thing.
Let me add a technical angle. An ordinary AI tool, you give it input and it gives you the output, and that's it. But many system companies deploy now are not like that. They have memory, continuous tasks, and can trigger actions on their own. To put it simply, a translation app you ask a question every morning is a tool. A system that auto replies to your email schedules or meetings and negotiate prices with clients. That's not a tool. That's a colleague. If a company deploys a digital sales assistant that auto replies to client emails, schedules meetings, even negotiate price, one day it makes a wrong commitment to a client and the company loses a major deal, who take the hit? Before it was simple, the person was responsible. But now, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting and very important question here. The phrase digital employees matters not because it sounds more dramatic, but because it reveals what companies are actually trying to do. The goal is no longer just to let the AI optionally assist the workers. It is to let the AI gradually take over part of the work that previously had to be done by the workers. A tool does not redefine a role, a digital employee does. It means the company start breaking a job into a system part and a human part. What goes to the system, what must stay with the people, what human do to training the system, and what human are left to the guarantee when the system fails. So the deepest change is not a tool upgrade. It is a redefinition of the job itself. Take a digital sales assistant. If it does more than just send an email, if it begins to absorb the customer's triage, timing judgment, promising boundaries, and part of the relationship progressing, it is not just to take over the actions. It is gradually entering a role, a working role, whose consequence used to belong to a person. But now, who will take the responsibility? Who will take the consequence? We have the no answer now.
This makes me think of another question. If a digital employee's performance is trained based on a real employee state, when digital employee make mistakes, does the prototype employee needs to bear responsibility?
Yes, that's another level of these questions. Now the digital employees make some mistakes, and the digital employees could not take the responsibility. Then who can take this responsibility? So the first things we think is about the prototype, the employees. So once a digital employee begins to occupy a role, positions, responsibilities, and no longer looks like a single point attribution problem, the responsibility structure itself gets rearranged. When a human salesperson makes a mistaken promise, we can usually identify a relatively clear center of the responsibility here. But by contrast, the responsibility is distributed across the training source data, the deployment design, the permission settings, ongoing oversight, and final sign-off. But the more important point is that the company is already assumed that some role function once carried only by people now may be taken over by assistant. So the real question is not simply who is responsible for one mistaken commitment, it's how much of a role a company can hand over to assistant while still expecting human to bear the final consequence. As for the so-called the prototype's employee, we should not mechanically to push the responsibility back onto the original person, but we also cannot to pretend the system is unrelated to that person. So what the company often copy is not just abstract the capability, they copy a person's judgmental style, communication mode, and the role exploration. So the real issue is whether a company may extract the capability while serving the link between the capability and the person from who it was derived. So that's the questions. So I could not have the answer or the correct answer of that if the prototype, the employee should take the responsibility. But I think that is the more important thing to when the company choose to using the digital employee to take part of the work, what the company should to take the responsibilities and how to make the company can take the responsibilities.
That makes sense, right? Meaning the company wants to take the most valuable thing about you and then just to cut you out, right? In any context, that doesn't sit right.
And once these systems are deployed, they generate new behaviors through new interactions. The behaviors nobody designed, they just emerge. So the traditional compliance model of review first, then launch doesn't really work, because what you review and what it later becomes, they are not the same thing. Lingfeng, how do you govern that?
Yeah, I can't agree more. The reason a digital employee cannot be governed through a one-time pre-launch review is not simply that the technical change too fast. It is not a static product. It is a continuously running work role. Once something function has a work role, it encounters new situations, produces new behaviors, changes how human works collaborate, and gradually creating the organization dependency. So what we have to govern is not only whether the system derived, we also have to govern which the judgments human hand over, how much the real control they still retain, and whether organization is increasingly placing the system into the position once occupied by people. In practice, yes, this means the continuously monitoring and detection and human in the loop, periodical the review, the regs, the logs, and the escalations or pause mechanism for the high-risk actions. But beneath those tools lies the deeper question, is the company ready to govern a new kind of the work until inside its own operations? So that's the deeper questions the company should think before they put the digital employees into the workplace.
We've discussed many issues, but fundamentally, there's a bigger question. Can existing legal frameworks address these challenges? The Personal Information Protection Law, the Data Security Law, and the Cybersecurity Law, these laws may not have envision that the concept of digital employees when they were enacted.
Should I just ask a direct question? Well, like, do current regulations have clear legal boundaries and complex requirements for employee data collection and profiling in the workplace, or is it still a gray area?
I'm hesitant to describe this simply as the law lagging behind the technology, but always these things. But in this context, a more accurate formulation is that the existing rules still matter, but most of them were built on the one default assumption: the user, the judge, and the bearer of the responsibility are merely human. The emergence of the digital employees does not make the older rule disappear. It explores their institutional assumptions. Data rule tends to assume that processing revolves around a human's current work. Liability rules assume that consequence can ultimately be tied back to a person's judgment and duties. Organizational rules assume that what is the authorized and supervised is merely a person. Once the company begins placing continuously acting system into a work position, those assumptions are disturbed. So the issue is not whether law can catch up. It is now the rule move from the manager's work around the human to manage a work structure increasingly composed by both human and the AI systems.
I've noticed an interesting phenomenon. Internationally, there are many principles and frameworks about responsible AI and trustworthy AI, but many remains at the hung and wall level. They sound good, but no one knows what to do in the specific scenario. And what have you observed?
I think many responsible AI, trustworthy AI principles remain hang on the wall, not because they lack the value, but because they have not yet entered the roles and the workflows. In the digital employee context, the company must answer the concrete question: which work choices may enter the training and which may not? Which tasks may be delegated to a digital employee and which must remain with people? Which the failures cannot simply be absorbed by human workers, and in which scenario employees should have notice, consultation, and negotiation? The real gap between the principle and the practice is not that organizations fail to understand the principle. It is that they have not learned how to translate the principles into the role boundaries, task boundaries, and the responsibilities boundaries. So that is why we need not only to have the substantive rules, but the procedure ones as well. When people are informed, when the use is explained, whether there are channels for the objection, and how training and deployment are logged, and who performs the periodic review. So I think there are a lot of the work for the governance can do, adjust the issues of the digital employees and how the digital employees work with the humans.
Yeah, that makes sense, right? It's not the principles are bad. It's sort of we are missing a middle layer. So who is going to translate principles into concrete rules, right? Actually, I think that our system in China had an advantage, others don't, right? We can iterate faster through industry standards and those, what, pilot programs, departmental rules, namely the agile governance, right? But I think the flip side is that speed can also mean fragmentation in the short run.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I want to add those procedural rules Linfeng have mentioned, like logging, behavioral replay, and permission controls. Technically, these have been doable for a long time. They are mature technologies. The problem isn't whether it's possible, it's that nobody requires it. So the way I see it, the key to legislation isn't inventing new concepts. It's forcing companies to use the technical capabilities they have already have. for governance?
Yes, look ahead. I do not think that we need most in another abstract slogan about constrained AI. What we need are the rules capable of the responding to a new work stretch. Companies are no longer dealing merely with how to use AI tools. They are increasingly relocating the boundaries between the human work and the system work. That means that we need clearly substantive rules, such as the limitation on the reused workplace data, responsibility frameworks for training and the deployed digital employees, and the categories of the roles or tasks that should be delegated to such systems. But we also need stronger procedure rules. When employees are informed how they can participate and when there are negotiation channels and how training and deployment are logged, and who performs the periodic reassessment. Ultimately, what must be governed is no longer just a model. It is a new work unit that enters the companies, operates continuously, and rearranges the capability and the responsibilities.
After discussing so many problems, I want to end with a practical question. For those listening to this podcast, whether corporate manager, legal professionals, or ordinary employees, what specific advice do you have? What can they do now to address these challenges?
If we ask about so practically, what managers, what legal teams, and what the employees can do right now, that is the practical questions. I think the most important point is not to treat the efficiency as an unlimited justification for the extraction and the delegation. For the management, the first task is to distinguish between the assistive AI and the digital employee type. And to govern the training separated from the deployment. In training, the focus should be the data source, the boundaries, the notice, and the limitations. In deployment, the focus shifts to the permission set, behavior limits, logging, escalation, and pause mechanism. More deeply, management must answer which employee capabilities are being extracted, which tasks are being handled to the system, which the responsibilities remain with the people, and whether employees have the meaningful opportunities to understand challenge or objective. For the legal team, the task is not only the final stage review, but early participation in designing and the conditions under which the digital employees may enter the organized. Identify the human assumption built into the existing rules and translation them into the task tiers, permission control, logging requirements, and escalation and stop the mechanism. So for the employees, it is not only enough to watch the privacy notice. They need to ask whether their work style, work choices, and the responsibility position are being redefined. I could not see replace. But I would like to see the redefined, and whether they are become the people who absorbed the system failure without the real control over it. So for the employees, they should take much more detailed things into that and to protect themselves. And for the company, I think they should make it much more responsible and should to think more about the work stretch from now.
So let me translate what you just said to managers. Don't just ask, can this AI save me a headcount, right? But first to figure out the person I'm removing, what was it catching? So one last question, Linfeng. If we look back at today's discussion 5 years from now, which predictions do you think will come true? Which problems we are worried about now will be solved, and what new problems will emerge?
Yeah, that's actually very difficult. Is the question for me, and it's cannot to predict the how far the technology goes and how the company and the workers how the relationship could be changed. But one thing I can make a conclusion that is digital employees will become much more common, but the system that most require the governance will not be all the AI system. There will be the ones embedded into the continuous workflows and endowed with the agency and the representational capability. So they will not replace an entire person in one step, and they will keep moving into those parts of the roles that are repeated, predictable, segmental, and scalable. The deeper shift may be on the human side. Many people will not disappear, but they may increase it, become the system, the trainer, monitor, reviewer, exception handles, and the bearer of the residual responsibility. So the hardest question in the future may not be whether the digital employees can be deployed, but what role human works still play once the AI increasingly resemble a colleague. In the end, what we need to govern is not only AI itself, but the way humans come to depend on it. Once the organization outsourcing more judgment and execution to the digital employee, people's own space for judgment, control, and the labor value may slowly be rewritten.
Yeah, Linfeng, so thank you. Thank you for all your sharing today and now. I've come to feel that the real danger is never the threat you can say, right? It's the stuff you think you are in control of that's actually slipping away, right? So digital employees may be exactly that. We think they're doing our work, but they may be redefining what work means at the same time.
First of all, thank you, Linfeng. And my biggest takeaway today is what Linfeng have said. An enterprise should not extract the capability while cutting the link between the capability and the person. I never thought about this that way. I'm a technologist. My instinct is to think about how to make the system better. But today's conversation reminds me that while the system is getting better, some people may be getting worse off, and they don't even know it.
Yeah, that's actually the most important things. The people seems don't even know it. I think by the end of this conversation, it becomes clear that this is not only a technical issue and not only a legal one. It is also a reminder that AI has begun to enter the workflow. As it increasingly resembles as a lead colleague, the real question may not longer to be only how to constrain, but what kind of the relationship between human and AI are supposed to have at work. Are people left only to absorb the risk and sign off, or do they still retain the genius space for the judgment? Will the efficiency gain brought by the AI eventually become a redefinition of the human role? I think those questions may deserve our attention even more than whether AI simply become more powerful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And that I think that's why we are having these conversations, right? We want to talk to the people already dealing with AI as it changes the world and, you know, how and hear how they actually think about it. So thank you for listening to Sino-Pinyin, Chinese Perspective, Global Vision. For more insights from Chinese scholar on international affairs, please follow or subscribe to our podcast. Until next time.